and creeping in the church. And Paul's addressing this, and he says, out of love for you, church at Corinth, out of love, I'm trying to help you. This letter he's writing is not to push them down, it's to lift them up, is to help them, is to encourage them, is to help them see the corrections they need to make in their lives so they can please God with all that they have. The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at a portion of Scripture that dealt with a sin that we understand in our day and age as not being an acceptable sin, even in our culture, even in our world. There's still places and cities that have laws against the sin that was taking place, that sin of incest that was taking place. Now, Paul addressed that sin, but he says, I'm not as concerned about the sin because this is with an unsaved individual and what was happening. He was concerned about the Christian man that was involved, but more concerned about the sin was he concerned about what the church was doing with the sin. The church was tolerating the sin. The church was not dealing with it. And he took some time in the scriptures in that letter under inspiration and said, all right, you cannot tolerate that sin because what that sin is doing is bringing disunity in the church. It's not glorifying God. It's ruining my name. It's ruining the name of the church because you are doing things that even those in this wicked world says is not acceptable, yet you're allowing it to happen in the church. And he says this is how you have to deal with it. And we looked at Matthew there where it talks about what we refer to as church discipline. And he went through and he talked about how to deal with problems in the church. Then he says, all right, at the end of chapter 5, there are some believers that are acting like the world. They're involved in this. You've got to remove yourselves from those. You've got to put yourself around godly people that are going to help you live for God. Don't put yourself around people that are acting like the world. Put yourselves around people that are acting like God's children that are set apart. Then it comes into chapter 6. And he's going to deal with an issue that was very prevalent in that culture. It was very prevalent. It is an issue that you say, well, why would he even want to deal with this issue? Because this issue, and he's going to go through, he's going to rebuke them for it, but he's going to give us the reasons why he's rebuking them for it. Because what it's doing is causing disunity in the church, and it's ruining the name of Jesus. And so as he moves into chapter 6, and remember, when Scripture was written, it wasn't broken in chapters and verses as we have it. It was a letter that was flowing into one another. And he is flowing right into this thought and continuing the thought of having unity and glorifying God. He says, I want to rebuke you on another issue. All right, one, you're tolerating sin. Two, you're involved in activities that are not helping the name of Jesus. Now, this is an interesting area. Because this is an area that we see rampant in our culture today. It is this of what is referred to as lawsuits. All right? Lawsuits. Now, I ask this morning that you allow Scripture to speak to you. Because in our day and age, I believe we have a mindset in regards to this area that might not line up with Scripture. I believe we got to look at Scripture for what Scripture says and understand what the purpose is behind the reason he's saying what he's saying here. Because he is dealing with some things here in regards to this lawsuit, because what was happening in that day and age, and we're going to hit it as we get in these verses, it was very common for people to sue over civil matters, and instead of handling things in a biblical way, he just told them how to handle things. Instead of handling things in a biblical way and bringing unity in the church, because of bitterness and because of all the things that were happening, it was bringing disunity in the church. And one brother over here was suing another brother over here. They couldn't get along. They couldn't serve God. They couldn't do those things. That's not what God wanted. And Paul says, there's problems in the church because you aren't doing things God's way. Now, we live in a lawsuit crazy world. One call, that's all. How many know that you see it? If you get hit, call Lit. Have you seen that billboard? And we live in a lawsuit world. Now, is it always wrong to sue? Is that wrong? It's going to address this, who he's talking about and who we're not to sue and what the purpose is. Now, some people say, well, you're just trying to cover up sin in the church. No, he just dealt with that. You don't tolerate sin. You don't cover up sin. You deal with sin. That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is when you have ought against someone else and you're not handling it according to the word of God and you're going to seek outside help to handle something that could be handled within the church. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. As we get in this, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do we not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know we not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see the truths you want us to glean. And Lord, help us to see how this can help our lives. How this can help bring unity in the church and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul addresses things that you sometimes we sit back and say, well, I'm not planning to sue anyone. Now, we live in that sue crazy world, and we understand this, but oh, I'm never going to sue another believer. I would never do this to these individuals. I would never do this. I looked it up, and it's interesting as you try to study and try to find this out, how many lawsuits happen between people that claim to be believers with one another, and there are matters that could be solved in the church. I know of a church that when they hire to get work done in the church, they purposely do not hire believers. And the reason they don't hire believers is because if something is not done right, then they can take action and get things resolved and taken care of. If they handle a believer, they won't. Then they can't take them to court. They can't do those things and follow through with that. And I think there's some wisdom to that. Now let's look at this rebuke. Look at verse 1. Dare any of you. Now, it's interesting. He rebukes them with a sharp rebuke. He goes, dare any of you. I tell you, what are you thinking? What are you people doing? Why would you even consider this as an option? Dare any of you. He's rebuking them, saying, why are you even thinking the way that the world thinks? Why are you thinking the way God wants you to think? Why are you taking matters into your own hands instead of doing it the way God has asked you and commanded you to handle things? Dare any of you? Have you ever used terms like that to your children before? What in the world are you doing? You know better, Ricky. Little Ricky, you know what you should be doing. Dare any of you? I mean, come on, Rich. Get with the program. You know that you should not be thinking the way that these other individuals are thinking. You are set apart. You're different than this world. You're different than them. Dare any of you, don't think this way. Now look a little further. Dare any of you, having a manner against another. Didn't I just explain to you what to do? Paul's rebuking them. Didn't I just tell you, you can't tolerate sin and you got to deal with it. You got to handle it the right way. You go to the brother that has ought against you. You go to them in prayer and you go and you sit down with them and you reason with them and you show them from scriptures and you're there to help them be for the whole purpose of restoration. And if they don't heed you, they don't listen to you, you go find two or three godly individuals to go with you, not to gossip about them and not to go against them, but you go there with them for the help of restoration. And you sit down before them and you pray and you seek God's faith to bring about unity. Then I tell you, if they don't listen then you go and you get the church involved. But the purpose of getting the church involved is not to do a show for the church, but is to be brokenhearted for this individual and to try to help them see the need to come back to God and live for God and the unity that needs to come and the unity that needs to happen. Then I just share this with you. Dare any of you, having a manner against another, go to the law before the unjust? He's rebuking them because they were taking things outside the church that should have been handled in the church and taking it to the unjust law of these individuals. The bitter battling of these believers that was being displayed before those who did not know the Lord. They had bitterness and resentment for one another for some issues that had happened. They didn't handle it biblically, and they took it to the unjust. Now, it's interesting there. If you study out their court system and you study out how they handle things, they went to the society. Now, the Jewish society, they handle things within the synagogues. They handle things with the elders of the villages. They handle things. They didn't go outside to those. But the Greeks, they had their court systems. They had this. They had the court of 40. And there was 40 individuals that would be these mediators. And everyone that was the age of 60 had to be one of these mediators. And they would sit down and they would have to listen to these. And these were ungodly individuals. These weren't people that were in the same faith and the same values and the same truths. And they would take their bitter complaints and they would take their hatred for one another and their resentment for one another and their issues. And they would take it to these unjust people. There's also, if they didn't heed those, then they would go to another court that would be anywhere from 600 to 6,000 individuals that they would sit before. And these individuals would hear the case and what was going on, and they would make a decision. And Paul's rebuke was this: you're going to the unjust. You're going to those that don't have the same values. You're going to these individuals that don't understand my principles, and you're trying to have them handle a matter that I've already handled. I've already given you instructions how to handle it. And see, his rebuke was this: you're going to people that don't know what my truth is, and you want them to handle the issue, and what it's bringing, it's not bringing unity among brethren, but it's also harming the name of my God. And they were bringing this: dear any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saint, not before the believer, not before the godly person. Later on, we're going to get into this. He says, isn't there a wise man among you? Yes, there's wise individuals among you, godly individuals among you that you should be bringing this to, but you're trying to get someone to side with you and not really resolve the matter. How many of us have ever done that before? We want restoration, we say, right? We want resolve. But what did I do? I go to find someone that is going to match up or be on the same level that I'm on, have the same not the same values, because as a Christian, I should have certain values, certain characteristics, but I'm going to find someone that's going to say, well, what I'm doing is okay. And they're going to line up with me and be on my side and against this person over here. And they were doing this, and they were taking this to the law and trying to handle things. The basis for the lawsuits in that day and the basis for the lawsuits in today's day is what? It's for revenge and to get gain. And Paul says, you're not to get revenge. The purpose of dealing with matters is to bring restoration, and unity in the church. This is why you're not to go outside to the outside world. Look at the lawsuits today. I know most of you are familiar with the lawsuit that happened, I think almost 20 years ago or so, with McDonald's. A lady ordered a coffee through the drive-thru, took the coffee and put it in between her legs and was trying to take off the lid and put cream around while she was driving and everything, and actually spilt coffee on herself, got burns, and she sued McDonald's. She was awarded $2.2 million. Now, they said, and it was appealed, and that she only got $600,000 for that, but for a spill on a coffee that cost her a visit to the ER or whatever, and that's it, and got $600,000. We live in a society that is greedy to get that. Was she trying to find restoration? Was she trying to get resolved? Was she trying to get that? No. In her lawsuit, it was nothing against, and if you read the lawsuit and you see this, it was nothing to try to get them to put warnings on the coffee cups or this and that. Now, you know that's why they started putting warnings on the coffee cups. It came from that. But that was not her purpose. Her purpose was to get herself money. And what it's saying is, there's people in the church, you're dealing with matters with the ungodly, with the unjust, those that aren't saved, those that don't have the same value, those that aren't lining up with you, and it's not to try to help the church, it's to try to help yourself. My purpose in life is to glorify, ought to be to glorify God in all that I do. It is to bring unity in the church. It's to lift up the name of Jesus and be the lighthouse that I need to be. But Paul says, you're rebuked. I'm rebuking you because you are doing things wrongly. The Greek society, going to court was a form of entertainment. This was a joy for them. That was the Greek society. Now, I want to tell you, how many of you watch court shows? I tell you, they say they're real, but I tell you, if that's real, I'm scared. Because I don't know about you, but I've watched a couple Judge Judy's, all right? And I don't understand those. Or People's Court. And you watch those. And you watch the different things. And let me tell you, there's a form of entertainment. And that's what the Greeks were doing. It was a form of entertainment. People, instead of have to go and find entertainment to do, you know what they did in that day, that society? They went and watched courts. Now, we have some people like that today. They have nothing to do with what cases are going on, but they travel around going to courts. I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about individuals that travel around and they want to see what's going on. How many of you are ambulance chasers? You know what I'm talking about. You see an ambulance and you drive after it, right, Brother Rich, to see what's going on. And they're seeking the entertainment. And he's saying, the Greeks find this as an entertainment. This is not entertainment. This is not the way to handle it. What we're doing is we're making light of sin. We're making light of the problem in the church. We're making light of the bitterness and the resentment that someone has for one against another. We're making light of this. And I'm rebuking you this because of this. But look at verse 2. Not only do we see the rebuke, but I want you to see his instruction. Do we not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, nor not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. He's saying, wake up, people. In light of this, in light of what's going on, one day you're going to be ruling and reigning with God. And if you're going to be ruling and reigning with God, and you're going to be able to judge and rule over that, can't you handle the small stuff that you're dealing with today? One day you're going to be above, or you're going to judge the angels. I don't think we're going to judge the angels in the sense that we're thinking of judging the angels, because we understand that the angels' fate is already given. We know when those that refuse to follow God and follow after the devil, we understand those, the fallen angels, and those are gone, and the angels there. But what he's saying is, you're above the angels. You're going to rule over the angels. If you can rule over the angels, can't you handle the minor issues that you're facing today? Wake up! Here's the instruction I'm giving you. There's the rebuke that's given, but I'm giving you instructions because you need to handle the issues that are at hand in the church. And if you're going to judge, you're going to rule with me one day, you're going to be over the angels one day, you're going to be doing this, you can handle the issues today. The instructive is this: is there not a wise man among you? Isn't there, and that word wise carries the idea of a godly man. Is there not a godly individual within the walls of that New Testament local church that you can go to and deal with the problem? Can't you seek godly counsel? Can't you get the help that you need to bring about restoration in the church? Why do you have to go to the unbeliever to try to solve a problem that happened in the church? Now, I want us to think about something for a moment, the instructions that are given here. How many times do we run to an unbeliever to solve issues that we should be seeking godly counsel to solve the issues? Now, I understand this is talking about lawsuits. I understand the interpretation, but let's make some application here. I think many times in our Christian life, we need to seek godly counsel, a wise individual. And he's saying, why can't you handle this matter? Why can't you handle it the right way? You're going to rule with me. You're going to rule over the angels. And if you can do that with my power, why can't you with my power handle the issues that you're facing today and seek godly help, seek godly counsel, and deal with the things within the church to bring about restoration and unity in the church? And we need to apply this, because many times in our lives, this is what we do. We run to unbelievers. And he says, why are you running to unbelievers? Because we want the unbeliever to help us solve a godly matter. And no unbelievers can help you solve a godly matter. No unbeliever can help you because they don't think the same way that we ought to be thinking. All right, my value system as a believer ought to be different than the value system of those that are in the world that's not saved. I want to give some ideas of this. I want us to see this morning. Because there are some things in my life that cannot match the views of this world. Now, I'm just going to give some points. I'm going to give some thoughts because I want us to see this and how our mindsets are totally different than the unsaved world. Now, you may agree, you may disagree, that's fine, you can be wrong. But I'm just going to give it to you this morning. All right? Never mind, I was going to say something else, but I'll be nice. Here's the thought. This world looks at the value of life different than the way a believer ought to look at the value of life. You go to our Supreme Court, and even those that are supposed to have a view, a strong view on the value of life and the value of that, you see how they voted, you see how the different things happened, you see they don't carry the same value that we do. And the individuals, the God says about life and what life is, and when life begins and all the truths that the Bible teaches about it, we cannot change it. And as a believer, this ought to be my view. Now, I understand an unbeliever doesn't believe the Word of God. They have a different value system. They have a different way of looking at it. I can't expect them to think the same way. But then if they don't think the same way I do about that matter, then why am I going to them to solve that issue? Another difference in value systems that we have today. My Bible clearly teaches, in the beginning, God created this world. Let me tell you, God created this world. I don't believe this world came by accident. I don't believe this world came about some explosion. I don't believe I came from some little speck in the ground and came up out of this little slimy little creature and became a human being. I don't believe I came from a monkey. I don't believe any of that because my Bible tells me that God created me. My Bible says that God spoke and this world came into existence. My Bible says it was 6 literal days that this world was created. But let me tell you, this world has a different view system. This world teaches something totally contrary to the Word of God in regards to how this world came. I understand that they can have that view because they're not in Christ. They don't know the truth of the Word of God. They haven't been set free. They don't know this. But as a believer, this is my value system. And if my value system, if my belief system believes in a literal creation of 6 days by Almighty God, and God spoke it, how can I go to the world to solve a problem that they don't line up with me about? My Bible says that God created man and woman. Let me tell you, I know people have different views in our world today. But let me tell you, you can find from the very beginning of time that God has created man and God has created woman. And I believe because of sin have distorted different things. And I believe because of different things, there's become issues and problems and things that happen. And we're not going to get in all the realms of this. But let me tell you, if I believe the Word of God for what the Word of God says, my Bible says that God created man, and out of man, He created woman, and that is man and female. It says male and female throughout Scripture. It talks about it. And it talks about becoming one flesh. And if you, not to get gross or any too details, but let me tell you, it is not possible for individuals of the same sex to become one flesh the way that the Scripture talks about us becoming one flesh. That's our value system. We believe what the Word of God says, and the world teaches something different. And if the world teaches something different from God's Word, how can we seek the outside world to try to solve a problem within the church that deals with godly matters? The world has different views on many different things than what we do. And what he's saying is, you're seeking those that are unbelievers, that don't understand what you as a believer ought to understand. The world has this idea. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You've done harm against me, revenge is mine. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to torture your life. I'm going to do whatever I can to bring harm against you because you've done this against me. But as God's children, the Bible says we're to forgive one another. We're to forgive 70 times 7. We're to allow forgiveness. We're not to hold resentment. We're not to hold bitterness. We're not to hold those things. And he's saying, all right, you're supposed to be forgiving. You're supposed to be long-suffering. You're supposed to have love. But you're going to the world that doesn't have love, doesn't have long-suffering, doesn't forgive, doesn't that, and you want them to solve your problem. You want them to solve the issue. You can't do that. His instruction is seek a godly individual. Seek an individual within there. Why do you seek a godly individual? Now, it's interesting. He says a wise man. Is there not a wise man? Seek a godly. That means godly. Because there is ungodly people in the church, by the way. There's unwise people in the church. And I just want to say that. Because guess what I can do? I can always find someone, even in the church, that's going to make me feel good about what I'm doing. But he says, seek a godly person. Seek a person that's going to take the wisdom of Scripture and use the wisdom of Scripture to help you resolve the issue that you're facing. Because the issue you're facing, if it's not handled right, is going to cause division in the church and is going to put down the name of Jesus. But if it's handled godly, if it's handled the right way, if it's handled this way, it's going to bring restoration and peace. you see, he says this, verse 5, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brother. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You run to the unbelievers, you run to those, instead of going where God wants you to go with that. His instruction is, handle it the right way. But now Paul, I believe, gives some of the hardest instructions in verse 7 and verse 8. Now, he rebukes them. He gives them instruction, but he's going to give them some more instruction and some concern as he gives his instruction. Because I believe this is the hardest part for many individuals in our churches to be able to handle. All right, we know we shouldn't go to outside law. We know we should understand that we shouldn't dare to do this. We shouldn't even think about doing it. We should stop before we do it. Don't even act that way. All right, I understand the rebuke. I understand I shouldn't do that. The instruction is I should seek a godly person, not an unbeliever, because of our values and things that need to line up. But look with me in verse 7 and verse 8, because we struggle with this concept. Because we are wired in a way that we don't like this. Look at verse 7, verse 8. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law with one another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. You know what he says? You go to court because you want to deal with this, but you know what? Even if it can't be solved within the church, deal with it and get over it. That's a really intelligent Greek interpretation of this. Get over it. I'm telling you, here's the thing. If you've been wrong, so what? You've been wrong. So what? Well, why are you going to let that cause problems? If you've been defrauded, if someone's cheated you, if someone comes against you, if someone's taking money from you, if someone's taking land from you, if someone's done those things to you, oh well, move on. Why are you going to let it ruin the name of Jesus? Because it's not about you in this life. It's about God and glorifying God and pleasing Him. And so what? You lost a little land. What is that in eternity? What does that really matter in the name of Jesus? How is that going to help someone get saved? How is that going to help someone get life if you're going to get bitter and resentful and not deal with it? Let me give an idea. I had a friend who had a mechanic in this church. That friend's mechanic helped fix someone's car in the church. As a result, something happened down the road that person in the church thought was the mechanic's fault. But instead of going to that mechanic and explaining the situation and trying to handle that, the mechanic one day went out to his mailbox and had a letter that he was being sued from this other church member. This went to a lawsuit. And it came to find out that the mechanic was not at fault, but the insurance company settled with that individual anyways for somewhere around $500,000 because of the problems it caused in this man's demeanor and his life and all this other stuff because he was without a car and couldn't work and this and all this other stuff. Let me tell you, what did that do when those two individuals came to the same church? What did that do for the cause of Christ? Even if that mechanic was at fault, that brother should have won, went to him, should have dealt with it, but even if they couldn't get dealt, even if it was his fault, what should have happened? Should have let it go, moved forward, and been unified together to serve God. He's saying, you need to get over your pettiness. You need to get over what you think matters in life because you guys are suing people over things that aren't going to matter in eternity. And then you're ruining the name of Jesus. You're causing stumbling blocks to unsaved people. You're causing stumbling blocks to those within the church. You're causing disunity in the church. And you wonder why you can't function together and work together for the cause of Christ. Why God's blessing is not upon the church. Why this isn't happening. He's saying, I'm concerned that you cannot learn to forgive. You say, well, preacher, how can I forgive when someone's done wrong against me? How can I forgive someone owed me money and they never paid me that money? I'm going to take them to court. Yeah, I know they're in the church. Let me tell you just a quick thing. If you ever give money to someone in the church, don't give it as a loan. Give it as a gift. And that'll change your whole attitude and how you look at it. And if you don't have it to give as a gift, don't give it. That's a side note, by the way. Here's the thing. This person owed me money. I'm going to sue this person. This person cut me off on the side of the road, and that was someone in the church. And I'm going to go after them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do... Wait a second. They've done harm to you. But what do we do to the name, to Christ? I'm so glad God forgives me. Because I want to tell you something. We're not perfect. And every one of us in this room has done things against our God. And He has forgiven us over and over and over again. Even for the same sins that we keep doing. Even though we do the same thing. How many of you have done the same thing more than once in your life? All right? We've done it. All right? How many of you have said the wrong word so many times? How many of you have done the same sin over and over and over again, even though we know we shouldn't do it? But how many times has God forgiven you? Every time God forgives you. And what Paul is saying, church, there's problems in the church because you want man to solve your problem. But let me tell you, you need to seek God because God can solve the problem in the church. God can take those that have hurt you and bring about restoration in the church. You don't need to go to the unbeliever to find help. You come to me, and that's where you're going to find help. You want help this morning? Seek God. Don't seek the law. There are a lot of issues that have happened in churches. I'm glad I don't know any that's happened in this church that I know of, especially in the time that I've been here. But even before the time, I don't know any issues that I know that where someone in the church sued someone else. But let me tell you this, doesn't mean it can't happen. It doesn't mean that someone hasn't hurt someone. It doesn't mean that there hasn't been some issues. What I'm saying is, it might not be happening right now, but it could happen. But how do we deal with it? We need to deal with it the right way. Because the whole purpose is to glorify God, bring unity in the church, and see each individual falling after God. There should not be a place where people come and have unresolved issues between one and another. And they don't even want to see the person. Oh, man. Here comes that Brother Steve Burke again. Grizzly Adams is back. What am I going to do? I'm so glad Rex has been on vacation for 2 weeks. I haven't had to see his face. He's going to watch this. I talked to him, so I had to put that in there. The thing is, we shouldn't have aught. We shouldn't have resentment. We shouldn't have ill feelings. You say, well, I've never sued anybody. I would never sue a believer. But let me tell you, the same heart that takes a person to sue a person is the same heart that many believers have today. They might not go to the law, but they have bitterness and resentment. and malice towards other believers. And that is the whole thought behind this, is you have the wrong way of thinking towards someone that's harming you. Get over it. Grow up, mature, and handle it. Don't seek revenge. Seek God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just use your word in a mighty and powerful way this morning. Lord, thank you for this truce that we've given here. Lord, help us to handle things the way you want us to handle it. Help us to have the right heart, the right attitude, the right love, the right way of thinking.